Take your Bible tonight. Let's go to the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. This morning I preached the last sermon in the series. I was going to preach in the book of Ruth, and tonight I'm preaching the last sermon in the series of these exhortations that are given to us here in 1 Thessalonians. So next Sunday I won't have anything to preach. And I don't know what we're going to do, but if you'll come, we'll find out, all right? You just go ahead and come, if you would, and we'll see what happens. But I've enjoyed preaching through these. I said I enjoyed preaching through the book of Ruth, but I really ought to tell you the truth. I just enjoy preaching, all right? If you're a preacher and you've got any preaching, you'll enjoy preaching, all right? Now, most of the time I do. There's been a few times, though, I was really glad when the sermon ended because I thought it was a disaster. But hopefully it won't be that way tonight, all right? I just hope you'll enjoy the message. Chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians, verse 22. The Bible says, abstain from all appearance of evil. Abstain from all appearance of evil. That word abstain is just stay away from, have nothing to do with, all right? In Congress, they will sometimes vote, they'll abstain from voting. Now, usually what that means is they don't have the guts to vote, all right? But take a stand. But it does mean, hey, we're not voting, all right? Well, if you're going to abstain from all appearance of evil, that means we're going to have nothing to do with it, all right? I want you to notice that little three-letter word, all. Now, in spite of what some people believe, the word all does mean all, okay? It means all of it, okay? All of it. I never have heard people argue about the meaning of all before, but some people get into an argument about it, but all means all, okay? Just plain and simple. And then appearance. Appearance is what something looks like. Hey, what it looks like, regardless of what it actually is. Okay? The appearance of something. Now, the Bible tells us what we're to do is abstain from anything and everything that it looks like it might be wrong. Might be wrong. Or somebody could consider it be wrong. And I entitled the message tonight, Run If It Looks Wrong. All right? Just run if it looks wrong. I was reading this week, rummaging around among my dad's books in the office back there, and you get these slender little volumes sometimes, and I'm thinking, what is that? And I reached up and pulled it out, and it was a book that was written by Jim Wright, who used to be the congressman from the Fort Worth area. I think got to be the head there, and he was definitely the majority, a leader for years in the Congress. And but he wrote this little book, and he lived in Weatherford as a kid. And he wrote in that book, he said, in 1941, there was a high school football game between Weatherford and Ranger. And he said, in that game, they got in a fight. The players got in a fight. And he said it, but it didn't end among the players at the game. It spread into the fans. And it spread into town. And I mean, they were going to it, you know. Hey, football's serious in Texas, if you hadn't figured that out. We take it serious around here. And those fellas, they went in there, and they got to duking it out, and finally, the police came and arrested the whole bunch of them, took them downtown to the jail, put all the Ranger participants in one cell and all the Weatherford participants in another cell, all right? All the strangers in one and all the locals in another. Then he went and he began to look at the locals and he began to empty out the cell one carload at a time. And he had his deputies take them to their vehicle, and he said, I'm going to let you go, but you just leave town now. So he finally did that one carload after another. Finally, they came back to one guy, one man still. Hey, by the way, true story, okay? came back one man still in the jail. And so the sheriff went up to him and said, "Now listen, sir, I just want to tell you, okay, my deputy's going to take you to your car with the agreement. You're going to get in the car and leave town." The man looked at him and said, "Well, I want you to know." Said, "I'm from Michigan." Said, "I was driving through town. I got hungry." Said, "I stopped in front of the cafe, got out of my car. The next thing I know, I'm knocked into the gutter. And then the next thing I know, I'm down here at the jail." He said, "I promise you, if you'll let me out of here, I'll leave and never come back." See, his problem was, it looked like he was guilty. It looked like he was guilty. Folks, very simple admonition in the Word of God. Abstain from all appearance of evil. That's not hard to grasp, okay? It's not hard to grasp. But if we would learn to do that, I want to give you tonight five ways that would help you if you'll learn to run if it looks wrong, all right? Now, I'm going to remind you, if it just looks like it's wrong. If it looks like it's wrong. I'm not a snake lover. Brother Todd is, but I'm not, okay? Man, I don't give you a flip for snakes. If I see a snake, I automatically identify it. It's slithering. It's on the ground. It's a deadly, poisonous beast. Kill it. Amen. And sometimes after I kill it, go, "You know, I think that was just a grass snake." "Oh, well, you know, and doesn't matter." Man, you know, to me, a snake has the appearance of evil, all right? It just has that look about it, all right? It does. There's nothing about it I find entertaining. Hey, we need to look at things from the Lord's perspective and look around. And the things that tempt us and the things that might attract us, we need to follow this admonition. You talk about helping your life. You said, "Preacher, how's it going to help me?" Take your Bible, Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Just five things and we'll be done tonight. And you can take me down to Brahms for ice cream, all right? Matthew chapter 26, if you would. Matthew chapter 26, would you look with me in verse 41? Our Savior is speaking here, and he's really talking to his disciples that had fallen asleep. And this is what he says to them in verse 41 of Matthew 26. "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." The flesh is weak. How many times have we given in to temptation? I don't keep score, and I'm not planning to, all right? But we do. Temptation comes when we see, we hear, or we imagine, we think wrong things. That's where temptation comes, and when it comes to us, all right? Now, just stay with me a minute. Hey, by the way, this is going to be a simple message. To see or to hear demands that we be in somewhat close proximity, right? Somewhat close proximity. I've never been tempted by a donut shop on the south side of Fort Worth. But I've been tempted driving down Denton Highway. Hey, there's three of them right here before you get a mile down the road. Said, "How do you know? I've been in all of them." All right, but there's a temptation, all right? And if we're going to see it or we're going to hear it, it's going to be in somewhat close proximity. And the truth of the matter is, we usually don't think about something unless we have heard it or seen it. We don't think about it. So I just submit to you, boy, it comes a very simple concept. If we'd be careful about what we look at, if we glimpse it, I've said many times, it's very hard to keep yourself from seeing everything. But we don't have to gaze upon it. We don't have to lock in on it. All right? We see something that may be tempting, man, look at it, just shift your eyes. Don't look back. Don't go back for a second look or a third. Yeah, I want to make sure that's what I thought I was looking at. No, don't do that. Just go on, okay? You with me? Don't get locked into that thing. The Bible says abstain from all appearance of evil. If we had learned to do that, it will help lessen temptation coming our way, all right? Just stands to reason. If you don't see something and you don't hear something, going to be very difficult for you to be tempted to get involved in it. Very hard for you to be tempted, all right? Why? Well, we didn't see it. So it's not in here, so I'm not thinking about it. I didn't hear that, and if I didn't hear it, then don't have to deal with it. If we'd be so much careful to avoid all that even looks like it might be wrong, it'll reduce the temptation you and I have to fight. You won't have to deal with that, all right? You just won't have to deal with it. Don't get involved in it. Don't look at it. If you know it, said, well, I'm not sure that's wrong. Hey, if you're in doubt, stay away from it. Don't feel like, well, I need to double check because it might be okay. No, if it looks like it could be wrong, stay away from it. Just don't deal with it, all right? That's a great benefit to heeding that admonition. We don't have to fight the temptation. Don't have to do it. Now, you know, I'm kidding about the donut shops and everything. I stay out of donut shops because I like donuts. They like me. And sometimes I think they call my name, all right? But you just stay away from them. I know I don't need them. No, I don't do that. I'm not going to have anything. I know the temptation that comes. I see those that are there, and they're the buttermilk, chocolate buttermilk donuts. And they've got that crinkly top about them, got that chocolate icing on them, and man, if the place was open, I'd go now, all right? I like them. I like a blueberry cake donut. I like apple fritters. I like it if it's in the donut shop, all right? I like them. I know it's a temptation. Stay away from them. Stay away from them. Go to Walmart. I like trying stuff that I've never tried before, especially if it has the appearance of chocolate candy. And so I'm thinking, wow, I've never seen that before. I mean, it's not right for me to go through life and not be able to tell people, yeah, I've tried one of those. And I can be tempted. I can be tempted. Hey, look, I don't know what tempts you, but you do. You do. The Bible says abstain from appearance of that. Why? Helps you to avoid that temptation. Just helps you to avoid the temptation. And now, if you like to fight yourself, I guess, you know, I don't. I don't like to battle with temptation. Don't enjoy it. You don't want to have to fight that temptation. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Hey, the second thing I want you to see, go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. This is a great chapter on faith. And there's one verse here. It says something about a fellow named Enoch. And I want you to notice what it says about him. And in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5, the Bible says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. What a testimony. What a testimony. I want to ask you, do you care about your testimony? I don't tell you I care about my testimony. I care about my testimony before people in this world. I care about my testimony before you. I'm going to be concerned about it. I want to tell you, if you'll heed the admonition in 1 Thessalonians 5:22, it can help you to protect your testimony. Protect your testimony. Our testimony is constituted, at least partially, about our reputation with other people. Your testimony is not what you think you are. It's what you're represented before other folks. It's what they see you as. You have a testimony before them, all right? You have a testimony before them. Now, it's this life that we live and we put on display in their presence. That constitutes your testimony before them. Your speech, part of that testimony. The places you go, what you do, what you talk about, all of those things, part of your testimony, all right? The people you hang out with. People you hang around, that's going to constitute your testimony. Need to be careful who you're hanging around, all right? And to have a good testimony demands that you live a clean, consistent life. Consistent, all right? Consistent. Hey, if you're up and down all the time, you don't have much of a testimony. You don't have much of a testimony. Hey, if you're okay with what you say unless you get mad, then you curse, you don't have much of a testimony. All right, don't have a good testimony. Just don't have it, all right? It's what others speak. So you've got to have a clean, consistent life, all right? To accomplish that consistently is the challenge. And that is the challenge. Because it's, hey, where are we going to go? Now remember, our verse says the appearance of evil. The appearance of evil. If we abstain from all appearance of evil, it makes it easier for us to maintain a good testimony. Good testimony. If you're going to witness, you're going to pass out tracts, I don't really think I'd go to Billy Bob's to do it. You say, well, what's wrong? Those people need. Yeah, they do. But at the same time, you got people that might see you, I ran out of tracks, and you're heading from your car, or you're heading from there to your vehicle, and they think, what are they doing at Billy Bob's? Now, I guess you could put on a hat or a shirt that says, I'm witnessing to the drunks, all right? But, you know, I don't know. But, hey, I'm just telling you, there's things you ought not to do. People see you. People see you. And it has the appearance of evil. The appearance of wrong. You say, well, I'm not responsible for what people think. No, but your testimony can be affected by what they think. And if they see you and they think, well, here you are, they think it looks like you're doing wrong. It's easy in speaking, if you're not careful, to say a word that some people will say, "That man, you were cursing." Be careful. Abstain from all appearance of evil. If I can just stay away from that which looks wrong, you can just do that, then folks won't see you and think wrong of you merely because of how it looked. If you're in a distance, you can take somebody and take their face like right here with your hands. I could show this in real life, but we won't do it. But you can do that and then go. And somebody a little bit over yonder is going to think, my word, what in the world's going on? They're going to think, you're just letting them have it. Well, no, you never did anything. You just hit your own hand, okay? But it looks bad. It looks bad. Hey, I'm just saying to you, if we'd think about that verse, hey, when you're going somewhere, think about it. When you're getting a little bit aggravated, okay, you're mad. You're not just aggravated. And you're right there on the verge of losing that temper. Stop and think, how's this going to look? How's this going to look? Look, we're just talking about practical stuff tonight. You want a good testimony? Want a good testimony? Then just stay away from anything that might look like it was bad. You're not going to find me, just to be honest, you're not going to find me drinking, I think it's IBC root beer out of one of those. Don't they have the brown bottles? You with me? Preacher, ain't nothing in the world wrong with that. No. But it doesn't look good. Doesn't look good. Now, I like IBC root beer. Don't drink it at home, all right? I hadn't had it in years. And you say, well, preacher, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm just talking about your testimony. Just talking about your testimony. Be careful. Be careful. Why? I want to keep it. You want to maintain that good testimony? You be thinking all the time about what appears, how you look, what you're doing. How does it look to other people out there, all right? How does it look to them? Because you want to take care of that testimony. I'll tell you the third thing it'll do. It'll help you to guard your conscience. It will help you to guard your conscience. When you sin, when you do that which is wrong, sin and evil, when they're engaged in, and especially if it's repeated, tends to scar and to wound your soul. And it'll do something to your psyche too, all right? You just go on and continue in it, and it messes you up. And what happens is it causes us to feel the weight of the guilt that comes from disobedience. That guilt. Am I honest? My favorite illustration of this, I was in the eighth grade at Mighty Meacham Middle School, all right? This is Meacham Junior High, actually, when I went. But I was in eighth grade science class. And we were doing some truly exciting experiment. They passed out wooden rulers. And I was just fooling around with it. And I got the flex in that old thing. That old thing had really put some flex on it, all right? I'm sitting right in the front row, right, front seat, and you know, no self-respecting boy ever wants to be on the front seat, all right? We want to be in the back. But I was sitting there, and, you know, I don't really know what I was supposed to be doing at that particular time, but I was having a good time with that ruler until, you guessed it, I had two rulers. Now, they were both shorter than the one I started with, all right? But I had two rulers now because that thing broke. But, man, God was with me. The thought immediately came, stick it in the desk. I was in one of those desks, you know, where there's a top, but it's open right here. You stuff, I put it in there. Had the coolest look you've ever seen. Guilt-free. But I'm going, nobody noticed. Thank God. I have broken, I suppose, the school district's ruler. And I thought, they'll never know. I lost track of anything else that was going on in that classroom that day because I began to dwell on that ruler. And I thought, okay, they're not going to know. They'll never. And by the time they find it, there will be so many people that have sat in this desk, they will not be able. We won't have to take a lie detector test. I'm sure they won't be able to figure out who's the one stuck it in there, who broke that ruler. And so I'm sitting there thinking, you know, they're going to pass. Hey, I'm in the front seat. One time being in the front seat helped because everybody's going to pass them forward, right? Yeah, pass them all up here, and I'm going to have them, and then I'm going to turn them in. But then my conscience began to work on me. Begin to think. Ms. Bolton was my science teacher, eighth grade. And I got to thinking, she's just the kind of person going to count them rulers. And we're going to wonder, all right, where's the ruler at? And man, I mean, my conscience would not quit. Just, it would not let me go. He said, preacher, you just broke a 15-cent ruler. That's probably all it cost so long ago when I was in the eighth grade, all right? And buy them in bulk. But hey, it began to weigh on me. And I finally, when class was over, turned them all in, I went up there and I said, Ms. Bolton, I broke the ruler. She said, all right, don't worry about it. Lady, I've been sitting there sweating this thing for 20 minutes. Now you say, don't worry about it. Wish I'd have known that 20 minutes ago, all right? But is that guilt? That guilt. I want to tell you, the more heinous the sin is, the greater the burden of guilt we carry. Hey, a broken ruler now, I don't lay awake at night worrying about having broken that ruler. It just makes a good sermon illustration now. Hey, you hear me. The sin that we commit brings guilt. Brings guilt. That guilt can be a hard thing to live with, all right? Very hard thing to live with. Now, obviously, there's less opportunity for the devil to try to hang guilt on you as you endeavor to live a life that honors God. And if you work hard at staying away from anything that even looks wrong, you don't have to carry guilt. Don't have to carry that guilt. You don't have to run around being ashamed. You don't have to run around worrying, did anybody see that? Does anybody watching, does anybody know? Hey, guilt. If we learn to take care of that admonition right there, it helps that guilt. Boy, you can guard your conscience, all right? The fourth thing I want you to see is this. If you'll do everything and abstain from all appearance of evil, it'll help you to be a witness in this old world. A witness in this old world. Look, I'm convinced this old world has plenty of folks that still would like to see real Christianity in action. The real thing, all right? Let's face it, it's the spectacular failures that get all the attention. That's what gets the attention. When some preacher, especially, messes up. And the more well-known that individual is, the more it gets plastered out there, all right? I still believe the world would like to see something that's real. They would like to be able to find somebody that lives what they profess. And can I say this to you? You can. You can live what you profess. You can live above the level of this whole world. You can live a godly, holy life if you want to. But it sure is easier to do that if you'll stay away from anything that even looks wrong. Because it presents the right testimony to other people. Right testimony. How many of you ever smoked a candy cigarette? You know the ones I'm talking about? Why would you buy them in the box, smoke them? Yeah. Yeah, man, tons of us have, right? Can I say this? When you were 8, 9 years old, that's probably all right. That's probably all right. But it's really not wise for us to go around faking it now. It's really not wise for you to make one that looks like it's hand-rolled and it might be something besides tobacco in there, you know? And you stick it up and say, well, it's just a joke. Well, wait a minute. The world's looking at you. The world is quick to condemn you. The world's very quick to condemn you. Yeah, that's what I thought about you Christians. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want that to be said about me. I want to be able to live a life that's a witness. Some people will not let you talk to them. They will not let you talk to them. They will not let you open the Word of God and read the Scriptures to them. Some people will not take a track. But I just want to tell you something. It's a good thing if you live such a life that people have got to say, that one's real. That Christian right there, that is the real deal, all right? You can find a witness and provide a witness to the world that your faith is real, your God is real, and Christianity's true. And you and I ought to have a desire to do that. Hey, this thing's not fake, all right? It's going to be a lot harder to do that, though, if you don't abstain from all appearance of evil. If you don't abstain from that, it's going to be, yeah, Christians, they're no different from the rest of us. They live on the same level we do. Hey, let's not do that, all right? Let's provide a witness. Why? Abstain from all appearance of evil. Be amazed what it do for you. Number five, take your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Last point tonight. We're going to be done. But I hope got you thinking a little bit, all right? 1 Corinthians chapter 8, drop down, if you will, in verse 9, all right? The Bible said to hear the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth, and he said, but take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. To them that are weak. All right? Trey, stand up in that pew right there, would you? Dad, help him stand up. Stand up in that pew. He didn't know I was going to call on him, all right? Trey, you're what, 8 years old? Trey, you're 8 years old? All right, relax, all right? Not going to make you do anything except stand there, all right? So don't get to feeling nervous, all right? There you are, standing there. Can I say this to you, every one of you, that little 8-year old boy and those two eyes right there watching you? They're watching you. You said, preacher, what in the world am I going to do? Hey, you got to be careful you're not a stumbling block to him. You got to be careful you're not a stumbling block to him. He doesn't understand about Christianity. Thank you, Trey. You can sit down. Hey, he doesn't understand. Here's a Christian brother, Matthew. We'll pick on Matthew. Matthew hadn't been saved long. How long you been saved, Matthew? Put the pressure on you. Have to think. All right, so we're talking about not quite 2 years, right? So not quite 2 years. Chances are Matthew is not as mature a Christian as Brother Oftedal is. He hadn't been saved 2 years, Brother Oftedal. You've been saved how long? 74 years, all right? Here's Brother Oftedal. He's been saved 74 years. Boy, I hope he's more mature Christian than that fellow's only hadn't been saved two, all right? Now, you and I ought to be more mature than the fellow's been saved 2 years. All right? We ought to have some maturity about us. Now, what that means, though, to a little bit, that means he's weaker as a Christian. It is easier for us to become a stumbling block to him because he's weak as a Christian. All right? He hasn't grown to where you have. Then we ought to be concerned about it. I believe Paul was concerned that he could become a stumbling block to any other believer, all right? And usually the threat is greatest to a new believer are those that have not grown in the faith, those that are spiritually immature, all right? Look, if you're right with God, you don't want to bring harm to any other believer. There's no way in the world you want to do that. One of the greatest things you can do to keep from being a stumbling block is you be sure you abstain from anything that looks like it might be wrong. Stay away from it. Why? Never know when those 8-year-old eyes are going to see you. Never know. Never know. You never know when that 2-year Christian is going to overhear what you say. You can become a stumbling block to them, all right? Hey, the appearance, the mere appearance of wrong can bring down the new Christian. There may be some of you here that would have a testimony and say, hey, preacher, I remember when I was a young Christian, so-and-so or this person or that person did something, and it took me a long time to get over it. Why? Because of their maybe carelessness in following the admonition in 1 Thessalonians 5:22. We cause people to do it, all right? Hey, the new Christian, they don't have much spiritual discernment. Just want to say it again. If it looks, you know, it's just best to run if it looks wrong. Just get away from it. Yeah, but I've got liberty to do it. But you don't want your liberty to become a stumbling block. Hey, you know what? Just because you got liberty doesn't mean you have to do it. don't have to do it. We need to realize that. Look, if you're concerned about your testimony tonight, if you like to have a good, clear conscience, if you don't want to be a stumbling block, if you don't want to be able to have a good witness before others, then running, if it looks wrong, will help you. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Make a big difference. Make a big difference in you. Would you stand tonight? Let's bow our heads. We're going to have a word of prayer. We'll have the invitation. Listen, if God speaks to you something in the message, you said, I need to deal with that, the altar's here, all right? If it's something from a message and God's been dealing with you for 2 months, well, why don't you go ahead and come now and get it right, okay? Whatever the situation is, wherever you are, if you need to talk to me, I'll be here at the front.